Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is WebSphere Partner Gateway, an Operational Perspective. Today's presenters are Cameron Mill and Aichi Boudreau. Cameron has been part of the Business Tone team since 2001, originally as a software architect for the software that became WebSphere Partner Gateway when acquired by IBM in 2004. In his current role as solution architect, he is responsible for designing the WPG infrastructure Business Tone used to deliver their B2B outsourced transaction services. He works closely with the rest of the delivery team to ensure Business Tone delivers high availability and high performance services with WPG. Aichi joined the WebSphere Partner Gateway USL2 team in November 2006. She brought experience from AIX and LAN server technical support and AIX IBM Director and Storage Area Network Testing. She is certified as AIX System Administrator, Microsoft Certified Professional Plus Internet, and Red Hat Technician. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Cameron and Aichi.
Good day, everyone. This is Aichi Boudreau. Thank you for coming to today's technical exchange. We have a unique presentation for you today. In the past, when we have WSTE on WPG, we always discuss the technical usage of the product to enhance your usage experience. However, today we are going to be sharing an operational perspective from a WPG user's environment with you. As a user, you probably often wonder, how do other WPG users use the product? How do they manage their everyday WPG operation to ensure the maximum efficiency and effectiveness? Do they experience the same type of success and challenges as me? Those are the questions you probably often have in your mind. Today we have the solution architect, Cameron, from IBM Business Tone to share his business unit's real-time WPG usage experience with you. Let's move on to slide number 2 now. And I'm going to turn the microphone to Cameron. Thank you.
Thanks, Aichi. Good day, everyone. As Aichi mentioned, my name is Cameron Milne, and today we are going to take you through how my group uses WPG to deliver services to our customers. Our agenda today covers some information about my business unit, Business Tone, how we deploy our WPG software, the hardware that we're using, and some of the processes we follow to keep everything operational. At the end, we'll have a chance to cover any questions you may have on slide three. Yeah, our first topic this morning is some information about Business Tone, the IBM business unit that I work for, on to slide 4. So what is Business Tone? Business Tone is IBM's solution to help clients meet their B2B and visibility challenge. We provide an end-to-end service, customization of integration into the client's back-end application. We integrate WPG back into our clients via ESBs, via direct MQ connections, via file systems, and using whatever document types of the backend systems. We've done integrations, a number of the integrations we've done have been into SAP, both using XML and FlatFile IDOCs. We've done integrations with custom XML and on occasion custom FlatFiles as well. So we work with whatever applications a customer has in their back end, and we work with them to identify what the best solution is, getting documents in and out of their native environment. We have validation and translation of business documents, mostly using the WPG functionality to translate from EDI to XML and vice versa, XML to XML to FlatFile, all of those capabilities. We have for some of our customers, extended that by going into a native WebSphere transformation extender deployment as well, which adds even more translational capability over what is available in WPG. We have a group, part of our team works with the client's training partners to get them connected to WPG. This turns out to be one of our primary value propositions because while running WPG itself isn't terribly complex, actually working with the training community, getting everybody connected, resolving their day-to-day issues, renewing it, making sure their certificates are renewed on time and then updated certificates deployed, turns out to be quite a lot of work. And over the past 10 years, we've nailed all of those things down with fixed processes and really built a business around handling that work in an efficient fashion and taking that workload off our client's technical team and reducing their time. We also do 24/7 monitoring of the system itself, as well as the documents that are flowing through the system with alerting around documents that fail, documents that are in progress for too long, things of that nature. Onto the next slide. So back to Business Tone. Business Tone is a fixed price, service level agreement based solution that delivers managed business to business integration. That's the marketing description. WPG is one of our core tools. Today we're using a dedicated instance of WPG for each existing customer, though we are working on a shared hardware cloud type deployment for going forward. We're not there yet. So today we do have a dedicated instance for each customer. We process a lot of documents on a daily and a week-to-week basis. For our largest WPG deployment today, we're handling over 120,000 documents a day on the peak day each week, and a total of over 1.5 million documents a month for that one instance. We have a number of instances, and so we're probably arranging around 2.5 to 3 million documents a month total across all of our customers. And between our different deployments, we're utilizing pretty much every feature that WPG provides. We have customers who are using ResettaNet, EVEMS and EVXML, EDI, both Etifact and X12, AS2, CXML, Custom XML, lots of different custom flat files, some of which are end-to-end encrypted. We utilize the back-end packaging for integrating into some of our customers. Some of them we use custom packaging. We have a number of user exits that we've written ourselves to add some additional functionality. Basically, we do everything that there is to do with WPG and work closely with the support team to resolve any issues that do come up. And then on to the next slide. Okay, now we move into a discussion about, you know, how we deploy WPG and what that looks like. And then the next slide, please. So when we deploy WPG, we deploy a fully distributed install. We've found that that gives us the most flexibility in that it allows us to restart the individual components if we are having an issue with something. And more importantly, it allows us to tune their memory settings independently. With a fully distributed system, you get a separate JVM for each component, the console, receiver, and document manager. You know, when you have larger files, you want to have more memory allocated to the document manager. It allows us to take advantage of servers that have 4 or 6 gigabytes of memory and actually use all of that productively. For the database system, as I said here, as fast as possible, which I suppose is true of every component everywhere, but in the case of WPG, the database is one of the two places where you will tend to see a bottleneck. It's very heavily used by WPG, particularly when you get into a fully distributed deployment where the messaging application server is being backed by the database as well. For each message process, there are at least 10, I would say, database transactions over the course of doing a channel lookup, logging the events, delivering the document. So, and that database activity is insert and update heavy, particularly insert with all of the logging that goes on during the processing. So the database server needs plenty of available CPU and disk I.O. Unlike a read-heavy database application where, you know, extra memory and extra caching will help a lot to relieve the disk I.O. requirement, given the volume of actual writes which do need to be committed to the disk I.O. on the database server becomes very important. Move on to the next slide, please. And this is just a very simple diagram of what we do. As you can see here, we run two instances of everything. The two servers of the Marks WPG application are running all three components, receiver, console, and document manager. What's not included in this diagram, the database servers that we use are in a N+1 cluster configuration, so that if one of the database servers fails, it fails over to a spare redundant machine. And again, with also the common file system, we actually use a NAS unit that has dual redundant head units internally that allows us to survive any single component failure without an interruption of service. You can see here we use the IBM HTTP server to front the WPG application. One of the main reasons we do that is because it greatly simplifies the security picture. If you, as you can see here, with the HTTP server in the DMZ, the only connection that needs to be opened through that internal firewall is the HTTPS connection between the HTTP server and WebSphere application server. That is a big advantage over the old way of doing this, where the WPG receiver was running the DMZ, because the WPG receiver needs access to both the database and the shared file system, as well as the internal messaging. And that used to leave a fairly messy security picture, because you had all of these connections and ports open through that internal firewall. The IBM HTTP server in front also handles the SSL decryption on the internal, on the external connections. So that actually front, you know, moves some of the processing out of the WPG application into those extra servers in the DMZ. As you can see there, I've put an arrow in for integrating back to the client system. I haven't put any detail around what that is, because typically we do customize that for each client we work with. Our common and preferred solution is to use an MQ integration of some sort, typically over a VPN. MQ is very good because of its reliable delivery. So whether we're delivering to a custom application on the back end, delivering to an ESB, being able to put the messages under MQ and have MQ manage the delivery to the client really works well. Onto the next slide. Now we'll talk a little bit about the hardware that we're using in our business tone environments today. Onto the next slide, please. So today we mostly use Linux on Intel, pretty much exclusively, except for a couple of shared components. We could just as easily use AIX on P-Series. The main reason we don't is that, you know, prior to our acquisition by IBM, we had been strictly using Linux on Intel, so we have a lot of history there. So we've stuck with that rather than changing platforms. We have worked with customers where we've needed to work with AIX on the P-Series, and that has worked very well. Again, we're more familiar with the Linux on Intel. Most of our processes have been built around that over the years, so that's what we stick with. For the application servers, what we use is two dual-core CPUs in each application server. I'd recommend, you know, with the way hardware is now, a minimum of dual-core, ideally either a quad-core or two dual-cores. WPG has a lot of threads, particularly when you're running the three components together on the one server, those extra CPU cores really make a difference to your processing throughput. 4 gigabytes of memory, again, using a fully distributed install with multiple JVMs, you can take advantage of larger pools of memory. And typically, for the document manager, you do like to configure as much memory into that JVM as you have available. And mirror disks for local storage of the operating system, applications, and logs. One gotcha to look out for is that if you do set the logging levels in WPG to the finest trace level, they can result in a lot of file I.O. There's a lot of data that does get logged. We did have a problem at one point in our development environment where we use virtual machines with virtual disks. So the disk I.O. is a bit slower. We were having a problem where it was taking minutes to route individual documents, and it turned out that we had it inadvertently turned on the trace-level logging in the messaging application server, and that was generating so much log activity that it was slowing down the entire system. Turning that off allowed us to go from minutes per document down to seconds per document in our development environment. So it's something to keep an eye on. For the web servers, either two single-core CPUs or a single dual-core CPU. Don't need anything terribly fast for those. Apache, which is the IBM HTTP server is based off, is really very efficient. A couple of gigabytes of memory, and again, mirror disks for the local storage for reliability, if nothing else. And then on to the next slide. Then moving into the database server, as I mentioned earlier, you do want your database server to be fast. We have found that about one database core for each application server core tends to be about the right ratio. We tend to use 8 to 16 gigabytes of memory, depending on how many databases we're hosting on the individual server. And you really do need a disk array, a fast disk array, or a SAN to attach the database server to. We exclusively use a SAN, mostly because we, in order to support the clustering that we're doing with failover, we need to be able to fail the database file systems from one server to another. For the shared storage, either a dedicated server or a NAS device, either a dedicated NAS device or a NAS head unit on the front of a SAN, we use one of the IBM rebadged NetApp NAS units in each of our environments. We've had a lot of success with those. Again, you need a fast disk array or a SAN attachment for that. WPG does create a lot of temporary files, and just routing the files, particularly if you have non-repudiation turned on, you're keeping a copy of the file that you receive, a copy of the file that you sent, plus whatever temporary files are generated during processing. Then onto the network. This is probably not so much of an issue these days, where gigabit is pretty much standard in all data centers. But when we were starting with this 5 or 6 years ago, it was fairly rare. Last time we tested without gigabit Ethernet, which is probably 4.5 years ago now, we had a lot of problems with throughput. And again, it took us quite some time to work out what was happening. But the latency on the slower Ethernet was interfering with both the file writes and the database transactions, given their volume. And we couldn't actually scale the processing rate over about 5 documents a second, regardless of how big the other hardware was. And we did test that. We did replace that networking hardware with gigabit hardware and saw a huge jump in performance for the hardware we were testing. And on to the next slide. Now I'll be turning this next section over to Aichi.
Thank you, Cameron. I will be going over the services and ongoing maintenance of Business Tone here. I have to say, when I was preparing the presentation with Cameron, it was a big reassurance for me to see Business Tone has implemented what WPG support would have if we were to run a true WPG shop. It is just a good combination of practice and theory. Let's move on to slide number 13. Basically, there are three areas Business Tone focus for daily or immediate maintenance. They are file system, database, and application areas. Let's start with file system. WPG creates a number of files for each document process, particularly if you have non-repudiation on. When using a Unix system, it is quite possible that you will run out of inodes in your file system way before it runs out of space for files. The reason being WPG creates lots of small files, like 3,000 to 4,000 files, and it really chews up your inodes. And when that happens, you won't be able to create new directory entries. Also, when you're out of inodes, WPG will stop working. And you'll get symptoms like unable to create files in WPG, and that will be an indication to you to check inodes. One method will be you can execute command df minus I. This will show used and free inodes. And also under file system, Business Tone also pays close attention to archiving. It is a very good business practice to archive and purge regularly. I often joke about this as like doing house cleaning, like laundry. There's a more detailed presentation on Archiver in the link listed on this slide. This is a pretty recent WSTE on Archiver. Last, under the file system management, Business Tone reviews the temp files frequently because temp files are required if you need to do resends, retries. But you won't want to have a huge number of temp files laying around. You probably will want to keep, let's say, maybe a few days' worth. And bcg.global.common.delete-temp-files setting, if you can do that setting to yes, this can help you manage the temp files. It's bcg.global.common.delete-temp-files. Okay, let's move on to slide number 14. We will discuss DB2 setting here to make the most efficient and effective operation out of WPG. WPG is a very database-intensive application. In order to keep WPG at its optimal performance, database maintenance should be completed on a routine basis. There are memory settings, logs files, run stats, reorg, rebind, backups, and max connection, those tuning parameters to make a difference in WPG performance. We're going to talk about a few of them just so give you some good idea of what to look for or what to do. Run stats is used to recollect the table and index stats so that the optimizer can create the most appropriate access plan. You first will use reorg check to identify those tables and indexes that are in need of a reorg and collect stats for all the tables in the database. After you have done that, reorg will eliminate overflow rows and reclaim space from deleted rows of tables and indexes, which is very useful if there have been a large number of deletes, updates, or inserts. And please note, this is especially important after you perform archiving purging in WPG. You just want to make usage of the space and other resources of your system. And after, let's talk about rebind now. After performing a reorg and run stats, you'll want to rebind all database packages so that their static SQL can take advantage of the most recent system stats. And for detail, you can find more in the WPG tuning guide listed in the link here. Let's move on to slide number 15. We'll discuss the WPG application maintenance here. and most important, please pay attention to the system requirements for WPG. This information indicates what has been tested and supported by WPG development and support. The system requirements cover operating system, DB2, WASP, and Java levels. Without staying at a support environment, you take the chance of interruption for your business. So I will recommend regularly review what your WPG machine has and apply service tax to make sure you are in line with a supported combination. Next, clean up core or crash files. Those things can really add up and chew up your space on the system, especially if it is a reoccurring error scenario. Do not leave your core crash files laying around. Additionally, WPG supports a list of alertable events, and if you wish to receive alerts, set those up. It will be much easier than you going over the logs to find the errors. Next, let's talk about set up JVM parameters. If the heap setting is set too low, then WPG may not be able to process larger files due to insufficient memory. However, if the heap is set too high, then WPG may use too much memory and process at a slower rate due to unnecessary memory usage. So let me recap it here. So in other words, if the maximum heap is set too high, then extra paging required to service an ever-growing heap can degrade the performance of the executing program. This adjustment is most important for document manager in full distributed mode. Finally, configure the log files. The log files can be overwritten too fast. The default log file can be overwritten too fast. And this can be a problem during problem recreation. So increase the log file from default to the capacity of, let's say, I would say probably like 6 to 12 hours of data. That would be a good rule of thumb. And it really depends on your operation, your capacity. That's why Cameron and I are not putting down a number here as a recommendation, but a number of the log, but we are recommending 6 to 12 hours, and you just have to play with your operation, the data, to see what is 6 to 12 hours of data worth, like the size of the file. And again, WPG Tuning Guide contains a great deal of recommendations in terms of tuning those parameters. Let's move on to slide number 16. This page is from an earlier WSTE presentation in January of 2010. With the title of WPG User Support Guide. It lists all the latest important tech notes and white papers for WPG products. Mr. Tong used this list as part of the configuration and troubleshooting guide. They are WPG Migration Guide, WPG Tuning Guide, WPG Troubleshooting Guide, and WPG Update Installer Guide. This concludes our presentation on WPG and operational perspective from IBM Business Tone. I hope you enjoy learning how this business unit implements WPG to achieve their business needs in processing nearly 1.5 million documents a month. And I feel it's just really always helpful to hear what other users' experience are. Now let's move to slide number 17. We finished our presentation, but there are a few good things here, good tools here I would like you to know. This chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for Westfield products. Developer Works offers in-depth technical information. The events link on support pages point you to webcast and conference information. And don't forget to visit wasia.org for user group information and more product information. And here's a freebie for you. The IBM Education Assistant. This consists of free self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. And the SR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMS online. And finally, the My Notifications link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. Now I'm going to turn the microphone back to our moderator, Joseph. Thank you.
Thank you, Cameron and Aichi, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open line for questions.
I have no questions.
Thank you, Jackie. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.